Brad, later in the hour, we'll have open phones. We'll also give away two tickets to the Big E. But joining us now in our Touchpoints Rehab interview chair, he is the lead reporter for NBC Connecticut's Troubleshooters Investigative Team, which, by the way, won the 2017 DuPont Award for extensive coverage of the crumbling basements in eastern Connecticut, Len Bestoff. Len, good morning. Welcome to Brad and Dan.
Good morning. Good morning. Well,
thank you, Brad and Dan, for having us. We really appreciate you having us on.
Well, what you guys do is great work, I'll tell you.
Well, thank
Nothing
you.
Like an investigative reporter.
You were mentioning before you won a DuPont years ago. That's great.
Yes, we did. The 9-year-old in Norfolk Prison, a young black man that was accused of killing a woman up near Springfield College, and we proved that he didn't do it. John Sablon and I had that program.
Well, that is hard, hard work.
Yeah. Now, you've broken so many stories. One of the things that NBC 30 Connecticut has done for years now is cover this crumbling basement problem in eastern Connecticut. Talk a bit about that, Len.
Well, just to set the record straight, I am not the primary reporter on this from the get-go. We broke this story on July 21st, 2015. That was my colleague, George Colley, was the reporter, along with photographer Dave Michnowitz. He remains with the team, and Dave is like another reporter. Then Brad Drazen took over the beat. And then Brad got a great job at United Technologies, and now for the last 3 months, I've been the one covering crumbling foundations, crumbling basements. And there are just so many stories on this. You know, as you're well aware, Friday, the big thing, which was a bit odd to many of us, was that the Democrats and the Republicans, who had been going together, I wouldn't say in lockstep, but certainly they were cooperating on a plan to help folks out in North Central and Eastern Connecticut with this, suddenly were sparring about whose plan was better, since the Republican plan for the budget got passed through surprisingly two Friday nights ago. And one of the questions we asked was, why can't you all just come together on this?
Because, thank you.
Yeah.
Well, what explanation did you get?
They said they're still going to, and there's a long way to go with this, if in fact there is a budget that does get passed.
Now, the Democrat plan was to charge homeowners, $12 a year on their insurance to cover the cost of this? Was that correct?
That's part of their plan. Mm-hmm. Their plan, the Democrats say, is $160 million over 5 years, but there's a lot of ifs in there, especially when it comes to the $60 million of federal money from HUD. That would be essentially a loan. And there are questions on whether our state would take that money, because there's a lot of paperwork involved with it, and it may be income-based. But the bigger tenets of it, yes, as you say, right, are the $12 per year on the homeowner's insurance. That would generate about $50 million over 5 years. Then they're also talking about doing about another $50 to $60 million in general obligation bonds over 5 years. All this money from the homeowner's insurance would be put in what's called a captive insurance company. It wouldn't be like a real insurance company like an Aetna or Travelers, but it would be sort of set up so that homeowners could file a claim, and then they would be able to get that claim processed, and the captive insurance company would help vet the contractors who would do the work. Because, of course, you can imagine with millions of dollars potentially flowing in, you got to worry about out-of-state contractors coming in, fly-by-night people.
Yep.
So there would be a bit of a gold rush. And again, it would take a while to ramp all this up, because right now we're talking 570 homes or homeowners that have filed complaints with the state saying they have this problem. But the belief is that there are many hundreds also out there.
You know, one of the things when we went, Dan, and we'll never forget it.
No.
Is what's happening. It's a disaster.
Well, that's the issue. There's the thought, Len, as you know, that this could affect far many homes that are already affected now. So this money that's being talked about, that wouldn't be anywhere near, I would think, that's needed in order to solve the problem. How do you see it from your perspective?
Well, it's a fair question. It appears that a lot of folks are holding back in terms of saying that they have this issue because they're worried about the stigma in terms of selling their home, in terms of, losing their insurance, having problems with their mortgage. And so a lot of people, as I'm sure Tim Heim, who's been on your program, has said, they're afraid to come forward at this point until they see that there's some kind of money here that could help them. And in the form of grants, not necessarily loans, is what most people tell us.
Right.
Well, again, and I have a friend who had his house checked and thought for a moment that he could have the problem, but when it was checked, he was on the borderline but does not have the problem. So that's one of the problems, too.
Oh, absolutely. Trying to figure out if you have it. A lot of professionals, there's a builder named Don Childry, who is out in South Windsor. He's been lifting a lot of these homes up and replacing them. He says he can pretty much look at it and see it. And, you know, I'm getting more training on this, but I'm certainly no expert. But the only way to truly know is by doing what's called a core sample. And you have to do maybe three of those within the basement walls. And in many cases, I wouldn't say it's inconclusive, but you could have more of a concentration of the pyrrhotite, which is the naturally occurring mineral, which causes basements to crack. You may have a stronger concentration in one part of the basement than the other. So the problem is, it's somewhat of an exact science, but the state and other people are trying to get the price of this down because it's $5,000 right, roughly in many cases to get this testing. So a lot of people don't even want to do the testing.
Meanwhile, the whole situation is in limbo and the basements continue to crumble.
That's right. Absolutely right, Daniel.
Yes. It's a very slow occurring issue, and a lot of people say that that's why we can wait, but a lot of people are saying, no, we can't wait.
No, no. Now, you are working on a lot of things, and I know that you've got... Can you give us...
Well, we're going to delve into it in just a moment, okay, Brad, but I know we're coming up on
a traffic. We've got to get traffic first. We'll do that first, and then we'll get back to this. 18 minutes after 8 o'clock, you know, one of the things, Len, that has disturbed me, and I think I can speak for Dan, too, is these politicians go out there, they take pictures, they walk around, and then nobody hears from them. I mean, that drives me crazy.
Are you talking about the concrete basement?
Yeah, the concrete. They go out, they have made visits. Senator Murphy's been out there, Blumenthal's been out there, and yet they never hear from those folks after they take their pictures.
Yeah, there's been some difficulty on the federal end of this, just in terms of getting things going. I don't doubt for a second that Murphy, Blumenthal, Courtney, Larson are trying to do things, but, you know, it's like turning around a battleship sometimes in getting movement from 30,000 feet, as Joe Courtney would like to say, on some of this stuff. But they are making moves. I know that Courtney and Larson met with Steve Mnuchin, the Treasury Secretary, about 2 weeks ago, to start talking about how to get some kind of deductions for people who have done this work on their homes, on their taxes. And so that's one thing. And I think what you're hearing from a lot of these leaders is that it's going to be something where it's a multitude of solutions. There's no unfortunate one silver bullet. But there is that question. This issue has been out there for 2 years now, and a lot of people are getting very, very frustrated.
Now, the NBC 30 troubleshooters also broke the story about what was going on at the Whiting Forensic Institute. Talk a bit about that.
Yeah, that is correct. I want to set the record straight there. We broke a story in November of 2015, almost 2 years ago, about excessive overtime there, about one particular employee who was making almost $250,000 per year by getting a lot of overtime, working 20 hours a day for weeks on end, which supposedly you can't do physically, but he was doing it. Subsequently after that, in April of this year, we broke the story about the allegations of abuse involving a older patient at the facility. And there has been other good reporting by not just us, but also by the Hartford Courant on this subsequently. But this has been a big issue that the troubleshooters have followed for a long time. We may even have an update as soon as today on some information.
Let me ask you. An update as soon as today, Bert.
Let me ask you about the $300,000. Is that right?
Well, currently those who are suspended with pay. Is that right?
Suspended with pay. That's what I'm talking about.
Yes. Yes.
Is it right, those figures?
It's a moving target right now, Brad. Basically, as we understand it, there are 31 employees who are out on leave right now from the Whiting Forensic Division. And we did a story about 2 months ago that their pay while they were on leave at that time totaled about $400,000.
Wow.
So it's been a few months.
It's been a few months.
My God.
So maybe double that now.
Correct. Correct. Wow. I think that's it's fair to assume that. But again, we don't have the precise figures, but certainly the meter's running.
So you got to say, why does the state do that?
Well, why don't we? It's in the contract, isn't it? Isn't that why they do
that's
it?
That's correct. They're innocent till proven guilty, essentially, and they're on administrative leave now.
Mm-hmm. But why does it take these investigations so long? Meanwhile, the person's out of work. They're getting paid. Why does it take so long? Do we know?
I think that in this case, you were dealing with videotape of abuse, alleged abuse, that happened over a month-long period. So they literally had to go through every second of surveillance video. And the investigation technically is still ongoing. We tried to get the affidavits on the nine folks who were arrested last week, and they extended the seal for another 14 days because the investigation is still ongoing.
Wow. What else are you working on that you can tease our audience about?
I will tease you guys. We got some good stuff. As you may well be aware, this week is what we call premiere week in television. Right. That's when all your favorite shows from the fall, you know, we've been out in the summer and enjoying stuff, and now it's getting cold, or maybe it's going to get cold eventually, and we're going to get inside. You know, we got The Voice, and This Is Us, and Blacklist, all those programs. But at 11 o'clock, we have a lot of great stories we do to reward our viewers who watch a primetime programming. So, for example, tonight at 11, Keisha Grant is joining the troubleshooters for a day, so to speak. She's got an exclusive. Do you guys remember that case in Meriden where the man shot into the mosque?
Yes.
She is going to have an interview tonight at 11, an exclusive one-on-one.
Wow.
Yes, sir.
Wow.
And that's tonight at 11. Tomorrow night at 11, this one's... just I've watched this story develop. That's what's great being in the unit. None of these are my stories, but I always pitch for the team too. Lyme disease, obviously a scourge in our state.
Yep.
There is a plant that supposedly is very favorable, an invasive species that is in our state where these ticks are propagating much faster than normal. They're growing and living in these plants.
How did you find that? Or whoever did it?
I think it was one of these things where scientists started putting two and two together. It's incredible.
When is that on?
That's on Tuesday night at 11.
Tuesday.
Sold at even larger big box retailers.
And wow.
Yeah, so that's one you want to watch. Because some people who have this plant in their yard are dealing with ticks and Lyme disease at a higher rate than others.
And they don't even know it.
Don't even know it, or they find it out and they're like, what's this plant? And so you can find that Tuesday night at 11. Wednesday night at 11, we've all heard about these break-ins with younger people.
Yep. Yes.
My colleague Dan Corcoran is going to have an amazing story just about the numbers involved in this in terms of how often these teens who have done this have been arrested or picked up and then let go because of the whole raise the age.
Right.
You guys have done a lot of
stuff.
Yes,
we have.
I know I don't have to school you on that. Right. So there's going to be some amazing figures on there that may amaze you, may get you angry. Then Thursday and Friday, we've got our response team, which I talked about briefly before. That's our consumer investigative unit. They've got a story. You know how you get those phone calls to your house where maybe it's a phone number you think is somebody's number?
We talk about this on the program all the time. Yes.
Robo-spoofing. So that's one of the stories we got coming up on Thursday and Friday night. And then we have an amazing milestone with the NBC Connecticut Response Team. They will have saved or recovered for viewers $200,000 since their inception. And so we're going to mark a story telling you all about that coming up either Thursday or Friday. Yeah. I can't remember which one. But they've really gotten results for people.
You know, what is nice about television, that all these stories happen when ratings are
news. You guys work on it. I mean, I know there's ratings periods, I understand, but you guys work on this year round, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Well, to get all these stories.
Of course.
I'm a very tired man, I'm not going to lie. I've got about four or five I'm working on for ratings, but for example, you know, yesterday, Friday, I did the story about the battling plans with the Republicans and the Democrats with concrete foundations.
Right.
We broke a story, I believe it was in July. Now, you all are aware with the foundations how the time frame when these concrete basements were poured that are faulty was from 1983, and originally the company involved said it was till 98. Then the goalpost moved to 2003. Then the goalpost moved to 2005. We found a home where they had a detached basement where the slab was poured in 2013 with photos of the company.
I remember that story. Right. That was not too long ago
that story. That was the summertime. Right. That wasn't in ratings. And that basement, excuse me, that slab has crumbling concrete in it. They did the core test and everything, and it with pyrotite and with concrete, what it does, it's very insidious. It breaks up from the inside out. So a lot of times you can't see it. Right. These poor folks in that story had it in their basement. Then the insurance company said, well, why don't you come and take a look at the detached garage, even though it was built 20 years or 18, 17, bad math, 17 years later. And they did a core there as well. And they're like, oh, my goodness, it's in this as well.
Well, so, you also broke the story. It might have been Georgia did it a couple of years back that this company was doing work at UConn, and UConn initially had said they're not doing work on campus, and they were doing work on campus. I think you had that story.
That is correct. That was the NBC Connecticut
troubleshooters. And didn't they lose a building or something? One of the buildings was bad or something?
No building has been said to be bad at UConn, as best to my knowledge at this point. That story was George Colley and our photographer Dave Michnowitz. But in fact, you're right, Dan, that essentially what UConn told our team was that we have no knowledge of any concrete company involved in this whole crumbling basement thing involved on our campus. But then once George and Dave caught them, then what they said was that we're not aware of subcontractors that are on our campus.
No. That's what
as best I remember.
Right.
Because it was a few years ago, but we've been on this for a long time, and we're not going away.
Then you have the issue with the school bus companies. You've done that, right? Talk about that.
That was a great tag team that Brad Drazen and I did, another Brad, this past winter. We got wind that school bus companies, even though they're required by state law to be checking up on their drivers every 2 weeks to make sure they haven't had any infractions, any arrests, etc. In some cases, they had not been checking for up to 4 years.
What?
Correct.
School bus companies are required every 2 weeks?
Yes, they are.
Wow. And, do they have the apparatus to do that, the personnel to
I'd
do
like
that?
I'd like to know where they get some of these drivers, too.
Well, I mean, you have to pass the test. But, I mean, do these companies have the apparatus?
Yes, they do.
They do?
And that's the thing. What happens is the DMV has a way of checking, basically, because law enforcement agencies let them know, basically, if somebody with a CDL or someone with a school bus driving endorsement has an infraction or an arrest. And so the DMV puts out the list. And so it's very easy for the school bus companies to get them. And some of the bigger ones are very reputable, very good with this. They check all the time. We did an interview with DATCO. And they are very upfront about how often they check and very rigorous standards that they have. Other school bus companies and or districts, public districts, were not as up to speed on this. And so because of our coverage, a law got passed during the General Assembly session.
Wow.
And
you
now,
guys do a great job.
Yeah. Well, thank you. We don't stop. We don't stop. Yeah. We don't give up. Please call us.
Well, we'll be looking for the latest dimension to the Whiting forensic story.
Yes.
Might have one soon.
All right.
Before I go
home
today.
Can't wait. Watch 30. Yeah.
Len, thanks very much for joining us.
Thank
Len, best off.
Thank you. A pleasure.
Great to meet you. You bet.